This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Wow, I like that. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. Mm-hmm. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's nice. There's that Christ Jesus again.
Yes, Messiah Jesus, absolutely, in that order. The title is important, not just Jesus as a Christ as a surname. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is interesting now. These are, if I remember correctly, these are feminine names in verse 2.
Yes, I think so.
Euodia and Syntyche. Mm-hmm. But he's encouraging them to agree in the Lord. I guess he's saying that as they drop back to, he wants them to all have one mind.
Yeah.
But he's rather singling these folks out, isn't he?
Yes. What sort of dispute is that? We don't know.
Yeah, but whatever it wasn't profitable, and he's
interested in the detail, isn't he? He's got this, he knows the names of these people.
Yeah, he sure does.
They have something between them. They're supposed to be in harmony.
That's amazing. So, keep these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names... And so keep them. I think one thing that you pick up on along the way with Paul that is not always so right out front, but he did have fellow laborers, companions, people who worked with him. I know we were well aware of people like Timothy and Titus, but it looks like that there were sisters and brothers who at different times were involved in working with Paul. He wasn't...
So they're not all perfect, as he says. Timothy's the only one that I can think of who really has your interests. I mean, that's quite an interesting reflection.
Pretty sharp,
I think we tend to idealize the church, you know, we think they were all Paul's, and they weren't all Paul's. Yeah. He still had to deal with them
in individual ways. Well, that's right. He wants them all to rejoice, he said, in verse 4. Rejoice, and again I'll say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Reasonableness, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Not extremeness.
Yes.
You know, there's a. I don't think Paul's looking for an average. if you average between two errors, you still have another error. It is the average of them, I guess.
That's a good point.
But he wants their reasonableness as people. To be known.
NASV has gentle spirit there.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Nice, yes. Yeah, I think King James moderation is rather vague. But yes. It's, I think, a quality of normality, you know, we don't want the whackers.
Yeah, well, that's right.
People who are extreme, making the faith look odd.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Lord is at hand. What do you take of that? Is that a second coming thing, or do you think he's talking about the presence of
either
Jesus?
Either one, I don't know. Yeah. I think often the Lord is at hand means that we're expecting him very soon.
Yeah.
Alternatively, he's always near.
He's aware
of what's going on. I would think a certain ambiguity there. Yeah. Certainly, I think the New Testament church did not expect him not to have come back in 2,000 years' time. They didn't know.
Sure.
Especially Jesus said he didn't know. Only the Father knew the times and the seasons, the extent of long periods of time and the fixed points. That's not known. I don't think they imagined 2,000 years at all. Doesn't matter. We're still waiting.
I like the last comments we read there too, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. We can't comprehend how wonderful that peace is. And it will guard your hearts. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Peace that guards the heart.
Shielding the mind, the personality. Yeah, I think that Some of that comes from having a certain confidence that the simplicity of the truth is real. One isn't sort of tearing one's brain apart trying to work out these fearfully difficult issues.
Verse 8. Mm-hmm. Finally, brothers, I love this. This is really a great set of thoughts here.
Too.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That's very powerful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that would exclude a lot of television, right? Which really, really celebrates sex and violence and of all sorts, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything that would be...
contrary to this.
Yeah, not good.
Yes.
It's tremendous.
It reminds me of the Bereans, you know, that Luke said they were more noble-minded. That's a sort of an aristocratic adjective there.
Yeah.
Nobility at its best is to be imitated.
Yeah.
Not that they were always at their best, I see that, but there's something about being a noble-hearted person. I think it's also in the parable of the sower of Luke, he talks about those who receive into a good and honest heart.
The same
idea.
Yeah.
Of nobility. I think we all admire that.
Yeah.
For instance, Americans are rather impressed with the British system. You know, they like something of that royalty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always at its best, I see that. But there's something of an ideal in nobility that we still relate to. Perhaps that's the end.
I like, you know, he had just made the statement before you went into this probably.
Yes.
He talked about the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We said that he would guard your hearts and your minds.
Mm. Oh, you're
so,
right.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. You're absolutely right. So heart is something slightly different from mind. Mm-hmm.
Not one for one, the same thing.
Not quite. They overlap.
Certainly overlapping.
Yes. That's fascinating. I hadn't caught that. In Messiah Jesus.
Wow.
In union with him, in company with him, in harmony with him.
So then, notice something, Anthony, that strikes me about this is, finally, brothers, whatever is true.
Mm. Ah.
So, you know, I think that Paul is envisioning here that truth, whatever it is valuable and important to us. And we should be filling our minds with whatever is true.
Since God is the God of truth, and that's one of his signs.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the God of lies.
And he's passed this truth on to Jesus.
Yes.
So Jesus is able to say in John 14 and 6,
yes.
I am the way, the truth.
Yep.
He is like the walking around truth of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is the truth, right. God is the truth, right.
But that would say to me too, if this is a part of what you want to be thinking about and have your mind on, think about these things, he's going to say, but whatever's true.
Yeah.
So how could we as Christians then denigrate truth or say it's not important? And Paul wants that to be, it's the first thing he mentions, really. He says, you know, he does this beautiful layout here of these wonderful things to fill our minds and hearts with. But it begins with truth, you know, whatever true.
Yes.
And whatever is honorable. Isn't that beautiful?
Right. It is very beautiful. As you say, it begins with truth, the love of the truth. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:10 there. The love of the truth they failed to have in order to be saved. It's not an optional extra.
Yes.
This would require then some very careful meditation, examination, wouldn't it, on the part of churchgoers. Not a sort of static sitting there just taking in whatever's said without criticism, without correction. I think it's lacking sometimes in church experience.
Well, this is certainly beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's really, if there's any excellence,
mm-hmm. yes.
if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, for goodness sake.
Do you think that would make an appeal to everybody, this passage?
Yeah.
I mean, is there a soul out here, really, a reasonable soul who would object to that as an ideal?
Yeah.
Why? I would hope not.
Yeah. Verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Yes, I like that in me. We just said in Christ. Now this is in Paul.
Oh, yes.
So whatever is what makes Paul, Paul, that's what we're supposed to relate to in union with him.
And it's not just what you've heard in Paul, but what you've seen in Paul.
Good point.
Isn't that interesting? So
yeah.
the words that he speaks are important, but Paul's actions, his life, are commensurate. They work in harmony with his words. He's, I think, you know, it's unfortunate that you many times see in religion people, as they say, preaching one thing and doing another. But Paul, when you got Paul, you got the whole package, didn't you? It was really...
What I find so interesting here is that you might accuse him of arrogance, you know. Mm-hmm. You copy me. In some settings, what fearful arrogance that is. But Paul recognizes that his task in life is to be an apostle. Yeah. He sees that.
Yeah.
And that's part of what God has given us.
He accepts
it. He accepts it for himself.
And
without being boastful, thinking he's something special.
That's right.
That's what he does.
That's right.
As they say these days, that's what we do.
That's right.
And that's part of what we need. We need apostles and teachers like that.
Absolutely. Well, we're still learning from him here.
Absolutely. I've learned things from you and your discussion of this, Paul's discussion of it, in the last 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
thing. Things have come to one's mind that one hadn't clearly seen before. Isn't that interesting?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Mm-hmm. Verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's a real
powerful,
wonderful verse.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
I can do all things in the Greek, literally in him,
in
again. You know, as long as I'm tied to Jesus, in union with him, I can get by.
We can do
any circumstances.
I like that.
Yeah, very real. I like the personal side here,
yes.
The psychology, you know, the inward workings of Paul's mind are refreshing, aren't they?
You know, this brings to mind, too, I think that Christians, especially newer Christians, oftentimes have the misunderstanding that if you're in Christ or if you are with Christ, then everything's going to be wonderful. It's going to be rosy.
Nonsense.
It's going to be great. We looked up in the earlier in the Epaphroditus thing how he was sick.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
He hadn't done anything wrong.
No.
We get no indication of that.
No.
But that. Comes along with the program here.
Yes,
but here we see Paul at times apparently having bad circumstances. He had need at times.
Mm-hmm.
He had hunger at times.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And this,
yes.
Though he was an apostle of Jesus Christ,
yes,
we're going to say. So I think it's good for Christians, and particularly newer Christians, to not misunderstand. We are still here in this life, in this time, and there's going to be difficulties.
Yes.
It's not always going to be easy.
That's right. So conversion does not wave an automatic wand over your life to make it a bed of roses.
That's right.
Sometimes the very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus did say, I came to separate families. That's a shocking thing. It doesn't get preached very much.
Exactly.
Some of those 31,000 verses that don't get preached. It's what you don't say that makes you false very often.
Yeah.
But that's very staggering. I came to set one family member against another. Not that that's pleasing to him, but that's the result of this teaching. It can be very controversial and divisive.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what one has to be content with, isn't it?
Well, as Jesus said, if you want to follow me, then take up your cross.
Cross.
Isn't that interesting?
Daily.
That doesn't sound like a regular
head
thought.
Head for the
always.
Cross. Go and get crucified.
That's right.
Daily.
Yeah. Wow.
And the other text that is, I mean, Jesus is completely uncompromising when you say, unless you're willing to give up everything for the kingdom of God message, you cannot be a student. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sign up for my class until you've agreed to give up
right.
your own life,
right.
your own relatives, your own friends, your church member friends, if necessary.
Right. And Paul is not asking anything of his followers here, as it were,
right.
but he himself is not.
No.
Done in his own life.
Yeah, bearing in mind that a few years later, he's having his head chopped off by Nero.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
It would suggest the devil was not keen on Paul.
But I like this, I can do all things through or in him
yes.
who strengthens me,
yes.
I think.
Marvelous.
Yeah, and I think that is Christ who he's seeing a direct link.
No question.
You know, it is Christ himself. Absolutely. Who is seeing to the needs right. of his people.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah.
Yes, without making everything a breeze.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're still here. And he himself set the pattern too.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was not a breeze for him by any means. He had he endured difficulties and hardship. He endured this whole business of
yes.
being tempted, tested.
Yes.
And the writer of Hebrews says, in all points like his weakness.
Yes. You know. Mostly from the religious establishment.
Yeah.
His
yes.
enemies were the
That's
church,
right.
I would have to say.
It wasn't the people out here because the sinners that was giving all the trouble. It was the church people.
Custodians of the law
oh,
make
yes.
sure that all 613 points
yeah,
you
right.
were keeping right.
That's right.
That's religion gone mad, though,
isn't yeah. it? But this is encouraging. Paul is passing this thought on to them, I think, for their benefit. I can do all things through him, or in
yes.
him who strengthens
of course,
me.
Of course.
So I think he's passing that along by
sure.
way of extension, he's saying, and you can too.
Yes, right? Yes.
And so then I think that comes down to the rest of us, doesn't
oh,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can learn that.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble.
Mm.
Verse 15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm.
It was kind of you to share my troubles. Yeah,
yes.
they were there to help him out.
And you were the only church that did
And
that.
He just said, I learned
yes.
how to have
mm-hmm.
plenty, but yet
mm-hmm.
hunger,
mm-hmm.
have abundance and yet be in need.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been on both sides of that.
Excellent,
and,
yes.
But these folks had actually attended to his needs
yes.
In the past
yes.
and were again, apparently.
The only church that did that. So
and
I'm tempted
something.
To say, let's argue about the word only. When Jesus said, you, Father, are the only one who is God. Let's argue about it. Let's not. We don't have any trouble with the word alone and only. We shouldn't. And here's a good example. You're the only church that helped me.
So,
I get it.
Yeah. So there's not another one that helped. That's
it.
That's right.
No need for commentary or analysis of Greek words
That's
or anything
right.
tricky like that.
This isn't hard.
No, it's not
hard.
Hard.
It's
not hard.
Right. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again.
Wow.
17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's an awful, amazing statement. You know, it's not that I just want something from you, but
no.
he said, I really
yes.
know that your giving produces
yeah.
Favor in
yeah.
the sight of God and
Marvelous.
And a good heart in you. And that this is
very generous.
It's all to your blessing.
Of course, how
that
reasonable
night.
That is.
Wow, I like that
yes,
a lot.
Absolutely.
Verse 18, I have received full payment and more.
Mm-hmm.
I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus
yes.
the gifts you sent,
mm-hmm.
a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So apparently he had brought things,
yes.
this Epaphroditus
oh, yes.
fellow. He had brought things.
Yeah.
He had gotten sick while he was there.
Yes.
So there was concern about that. But here he's thanking them for having sent those things
mm-hmm.
Back. It's interesting. He doesn't go into that as the first thing that he writes
no.
to them about.
No.
He's going to mention it at the end. But you know where Paul's priorities are at.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, his letters begin talking about Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Talking about the one true God, talking
yes.
about the saints,
yes.
The elders and the deacons and so on, and then thanksgivings and prayer and the advance of the gospel
mm.
and all these
mm.
things. And he, you know, and then at the end he's going to get around and say, oh, thank you so much for
yeah.
what you sent.
Oh, the messy details are not
sure.
unimportant to Paul. That's
yeah.
exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sacrifice there with being the spiritual fulfillment of the
yes.
ancient sacrifices. They
yeah.
weren't offering animals.
Yes, yes.
The sacrifice of prayer,
sure.
spiritualization, thanksgiving, sacrifice, well-pleasing
mm-hmm.
to God. God is pleased with that.
Yeah. And you think about it, you know, the folks out in the Christians in the Gentile world, what other sacrifice was available for them to make?
That's right.
They didn't have access to the temple. They didn't have the temple out there where they were at. If they'd been anywhere around the temple, I'm not sure they could have come in there and, and made a sacrifice anyway, the way it was all set up. So what sacrifice is it that these people make? And it's and the answer is, they're making the sacrifices of praise, the writer of Hebrews says. They're making the sacrifices of gifts and offerings to the benefit of the of Paul and the cause, the message.
And that is well-pleasing to God. It's the thought that one can please God. It reminds me of the text in Jeremiah 27:5. It says, God has made the whole earth, the whole thing, and he'll give it to those who are pleasing.
Yes, yes, I like
sight.
That.
That's quite a generous gift, isn't it?
I like that a lot.
The planet is yours in Christ.
That's nice.
That's God's gift.
In verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's going to supply your needs because of his your abundance of love and care for him. And you know, there's just a great favor of God toward these Philippians, for their good hearts and good spirits. God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow, he's punctuating it, would you say?
He's ending in a blaze of glory himself, isn't he? It all ends with
that's wonderful.
Glory to God for all of this.
So then you have a final thought here.
Yes.
21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Yes.
So how nice is that?
It's very refreshing. And to our Jehovah's Witness friends who say they are not saints, not part of the body of Christ, you're cutting yourself out of a very important thing here. Really, you're saying the New Testament is not written expressly to you. You get the sort of a side benefit.
Yeah. Right.
But it would be better to acknowledge your own identity in Christ, that we have to be born again to be a Christian.
Absolutely.
We have to be a saint. We have to be part of the holy people of God. Otherwise, we're saying to Paul and Jesus and God, we're not part of that, actually.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Which is,
calls for a very careful re-examination of the system of belief that they've been taught.
Well, I like your thought, you know, don't give up your place,
right.
Your station.
Right. Don't surrender your identity to others.
Right. And
that's very important.
And it looks to me like our Jehovah's Witness folks.
Yes.
Give it up for no real reason. It's just theologically they've painted themselves out of that.
They were taught a very strange system about the 144,000, which is actually a prophetic thing. It's only after the tribulation, or those coming out of the great tribulation, which is future, that you can talk about 144,000. Well, you can't be talking about that prior to the great tribulation. That is an amazing switch, actually. A very unfortunate one, because the soberness of it. But we all need to be brilliant. When you have our moments of aha, you know, I see, maybe what I've been taught is false.
Yes.
Let me think about that for several weeks.
That's right.
Can you imagine that? Then, of course, we've tied ourselves almost inextricably to fellow brothers. You know, the team thing takes over.
Right.
The status quo takes over. Happy the man who can say, maybe I need to think about some
that's
of
right.
these doctrines that
that's
are being
right.
challenged
right.
from others. Maybe God is speaking to me through others and saying, there might be something you want to re-examine.
That's right. Perhaps there's more.
That's something different.
I think that's something I had to come to grips with in my life, is to realize, you know, I was happy for whatever right understanding I did have, whatever good was there. But on the other hand, I had to come to the place of realizing, perhaps there's more. There's more for me.
That's
there's
right.
more there than
that's
what
right.
I have apprehended.
Yes. No, that's most important. I think that I really think it's not exactly to the point here, but the principle is so important.
Yeah.
Because with the advance of internet, as we have it now, we are being challenged. mean, the marketplace of ideas, church ideas, is huge now, isn't it?
Right, right.
And that's the time when we say, oh God, if I'm wrong in this and that, please send some kind person to tap me on the shoulder and invite me to think this through.
That's right.
That's changed a lot of lives.